Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm happy to be here with you to talk about raising your frequency to access your spiritual guidance. I'll be discussing what this means, what frequency means, and some of the ways of raising your frequency so that you can access your spiritual guidance. And about halfway through, I'll be letting you know some of the products that we have available for you for your support. You certainly don't have to buy any to get great value out of the class. And at some point when I'm ready for questions, I'm going to open up my Facebook page and see if there are any questions and let people know that they can ask questions. I'm letting you know that you can ask questions on my Inner Bonding Facebook page. So if you haven't asked questions online and you want to do that, you can go to my Inner Bonding Facebook page and ask questions there. And if I have a chance, I'll certainly be happy to answer them. So let's talk about what frequency is. Think about frequency. Like if you walk into a room and it's filled with angry, miserable, scared people, that energy that's in that room, that kind of dark, heavy energy, is what's called a low frequency. And if you walk into a room filled with people who are happy and joyful and loving, that's called a high frequency. That energy that you feel when you're around people like that is called a high frequency. So let's talk for a moment about what is guidance and why your frequency is so important in terms of connecting to your spiritual guidance. Guidance is the energy that is all around us and within us. It's spirit. And if you've done any reading, like Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Belief, he actually proves that all of the cells in our body are being informed externally. They're not being informed internally. They're being informed externally by the intelligence that's in the universe. And one way of imagining guidance is to imagine that your soul is a very big energy, way, way, way bigger than your body. If any of you have read Dr. Jill Bolt Taylor's book, My Stroke of Insight, when she had a stroke, her left brain went offline and her right brain took over, which meant that she was able, her soul was able to leave her body at will. And she was just shocked at how huge her soul was and realized that her whole soul could never fit in such a little body. And so a part of our soul is within, and that part of us communicates to us through our feelings. And the rest of our soul is all around us. And that part communicates through thoughts and images. And we can access the communication of our soul within by staying in touch with our feelings, which is step one of inner bonding, being in the intention to learn about what our feelings are trying to tell us. And we can access our higher guidance also by being open to learning about what's loving to us and what's the truth. So one of the things that raises our frequency the most is our intention. And in the inner bonding process, there's only two intentions, as many of you know. There's the intention to learn about what's loving to ourselves and others, and there's the intention to protect against pain with some form of controlling behavior. When we choose, whether we choose it consciously or unconsciously, when we choose an intention to protect, we lower our frequency. When we're in that intention, there's no way that we can access spirit because spirit exists at a high frequency. That information that we need exists at a fairly high frequency. And in order to access that, in order to be able to hear spirit or see spirit or feel spirit, we need to get our frequency up. So this is why it's so important to learn how to raise your frequency. Now, as I said, the main thing that makes your frequency go up and down is your intention. This is the primary vital key. There's many other things that you can do to get your frequency up, but unless you consciously choose the intention to learn about truth and about love, your frequency is not going to go high enough to access the wisdom of spirit. Now, other things can support this. Once you are truly in the intention to learn, it's really important to open to your imagination. Your imagination is really a gift that links you to spirit. Unfortunately, many of us have been taught when we're growing up that, if we imagine something, we're kind of put down like, oh, that's only your imagination, not realizing that imagination is the beginning of creativity. It opens us to spirit and allows the creativity of spirit to come through us. So when we imagine our higher self, the energy, or we imagine whatever your concept of God is, or a teacher or a guardian angel, just using your imagination raises your frequency. Thoughts that have to do with any kind of controlling thing, anything to do with fear, will lower your frequency. But thoughts that have to do with love, with gratitude, in particular, gratitude is an incredible way of raising your frequency. When you move into your heart with gratitude, you will certainly raise your frequency, but unless you're in the intention to learn, it's not going to be high enough to access spirit. Our actions also can raise or lower our frequency. When we act from kindness, from our heart, that supports a higher frequency. When we act out of fear and trying to control, that will bring our frequency down. Another thing that can really affect frequency is what you put into your body. Foods that are not truly in alignment with what we're meant to eat, foods that are packaged and processed and filled with pesticides and colorings, these are very tough for the body to handle. This is not natural for the body. And so it takes a lot of energy for the body to try and handle not natural foods. And that lowers your frequency. Anything that's hard for the body to do lowers your frequency. So if you want to keep your frequency high, then you need to really notice what you're putting into your body, to put in fresh, whole, organic foods is what will help you keep your frequency high. Also, things like alcohol and drugs will always lower your frequency. Sometimes people think that alcohol or pot or something raises their frequency, but it really doesn't. I mean, there are some drugs that do give you access to higher frequencies. The indigenous people would use these to help them open and connect. But unfortunately, when people use them a lot or use them addictively, then it starts to lower their frequency. Another thing is sleep. When you're tired, it's very hard to raise your frequency. It takes some energy to keep your frequency high. And so if you don't get enough sleep, it's going to be very, very tough for you to keep your frequency high enough to stay in connection with your higher self, with your spiritual guidance. So another thing is your general overall health. If you're sick, and we all do get sick at times, that's going to affect your frequency. It's very hard to have a high frequency when we're sick. And so, if I'm not feeling well, then I kind of rely on other people to access what's best for me rather than try and do it myself, because I know I can't get my frequency high enough if I'm really tired or I'm not feeling well. Another thing that's really important for frequency is exercise. The body just doesn't do well physically without enough exercise. And I always suggest that people find the form of exercise that they really love to do and then do it. Do it every day. Whatever that is for you. If it's not something you love, you're not going to keep it up. And so if you want to keep your frequency high, you need to find a form of exercise that you really enjoy doing. The other thing that affects frequency is who you're around. I mean, you know, think about the kind of people you spend your time with. If you're around grumpy, angry, victim-y type people, it's going to have a tendency to lower your frequency. It's going to pull on your energy, and you're going to have to exert a lot of energy to deal with that their low frequency, and it's going to pull yours down. Whereas if you're around happy, peaceful, joyful people, that is certainly going to help you raise your frequency. Creativity, anything that's creative, if you really move into a creative space, that raises your frequency. When somebody's truly in a creative space, they're open. They're allowing the creativity to come through them. It's not actually generated within us. It comes through us. And so when we move into a creative state, we naturally raise our frequency so that we can access our creativity. Writers know this. Painters, musicians know that their creativity comes through them. It doesn't come from them. It comes through them. Music, for many people, raises their frequency. That music that they love can certainly bring your whole being into a higher frequency. But again, none of these things are going to really give you access to your guidance unless you're in an intention to learn. I've worked with many people who have done all of these things other than the intention to learn, and then they wonder why they're doing all this great stuff and they're not accessing their spiritual guidance. So you have to remember that the intention to learn is the vital key. Things like prayer and meditation and chanting and dancing, these are all very helpful in raising your frequency, again, only if you're open to learning. Being out in nature. Nature has a very high frequency. And for me, I go out every morning, I walk up and down hills, and I do my inner bonding work out loud while I walk, and I find being out in nature to be really supportive of raising my frequency. But once again, I have to be open to learning in order to access my guidance. And then finally, your entire environment that you live in. If you live around a lot of clutter, a lot of mess, that's always going to lower your frequency. It's always going to make it harder. You want to be recognizing that your environment needs to have some organization and that there needs to be some beauty. Beauty raises the frequency. And I think it's up to each person to tune into what is beautiful for them. I mean, I have things all over my house that I love to look at, that I find very beautiful. And when I look at them, it reminds me to move into my heart and to move into an intention to learn. You know, the thing is that we were all raised to be protected. I mean, this is what we learn to do. We learn to protect ourselves as we are growing up. And that's kind of the automatic default setting, is to protect ourselves. And so in order to move into an intention to learn, this has to be a conscious thing. It's not going to happen automatically. We have to decide it. It's like a moment-by-moment decision that we decide in this moment we want our hearts to be open, we want to come from kindness and caring towards ourselves and others, we want to be open to learning with our feelings, we want to be open to learning with our guidance. And it's easy to forget that because the default setting is to protect against pain. You know, this is what we all learned. We had to learn this as part of our survival. And so it's great to have beauty around your house, things that remind you. Like as I'm walking around my room right now talking to you, I look over and I have this beautiful rock that says angel on it. Now, that I look at the rock and it reminds me to move into my heart. It reminds me to have compassion for myself and compassion for others. I have another rock right next to it that says, listen. And I look at these things all the time. I mean, they're not invisible to me. And so the rock reminds me to listen inside, listen to my feelings, listen to my guidance. And right next to my listen rock, I have a beautiful rose quartz heart rock. And that rock reminds me to be in my heart, reminds me to open to compassion. And so I really want to encourage you to be noticing as you're walking around or going shopping, noticing the things that kind of move you, that make your heart feel open, that give you a little shiver inside. For me, personally, beauty is really, really important. And so I put beautiful things all over to constantly remind me to keep my heart open and to be in compassion. So there are a couple of choices that we can make throughout a day. And one of them is gratitude and one of them is compassion. These choices to be in gratitude and to be in compassion for ourselves certainly help us to raise our frequency and can remind us to move into the intention to learn. So this is just, you know, a brief understanding of what frequency is and what guidance is and what we can each do. I have learned at this point to live my life opening to my guidance as my source of comfort, my source of what's in my highest good, my source of truth. You know, we all have this wounded part of us, this wounded self, that we had to develop, as I said, as we were growing up, to survive, that is about the intention to protect and control. But this wounded part of us is a programmed part. And when we let this part of us, which is basically in our left brain, the bottom of our left brain called the amygdala, this is about survival, and it's very deeply programmed. It's got tons of false beliefs in there. If we let that part of us be in charge of our life, we're going to keep our frequency very low because that part is programmed with many, many beliefs that keep us really, really limited. So I've learned if I hear the voice of my wounded self, I've learned to distinguish between the voice of my wounded self and the voice of my guidance. They feel very different in my being. The voice of my guidance will never scare me. The voice of my wounded self is kind of scary, will say things that make me feel bad or scared. So I really know the difference, and sometimes it takes practice to discern the difference between these two voices. But I've learned that when that voice of my wounded self comes up and I feel the kind of pang in my stomach, because that's my inner guidance letting me know that there's some fear or anxiety, I immediately know that my wounded self is in charge, and I immediately say, no, I am not going there. You need to be quiet. I say it kindly and compassionately, but you need to be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. And truly, that voice is complete and total ignorance. It just has, it's a low frequency, which means that it has no ability to access the truth of spirit. And so I have learned over time that that voice just doesn't know what it's talking about. And I gently and kindly say, you have to be quiet because you don't know what you're talking about. And then I consciously open to learning with my spiritual guidance about what is true for me and what is the loving action towards myself. And this is really the basis of the inner bonding process, is being tuned into your feelings, recognizing when you're in your wounded self, because your anxiety, your depression, guilt, shame, anger, all of these let you know that you're operating out of your wounded self. Because when you're connected with your guidance, you're feeling peaceful, feeling happy and joyful, because you're taking loving care of yourself. When you're in your wounded self, you're deeply, deeply abandoning yourself, which is a very low frequency. So with practice, I've learned to rely on my guidance to let me know about every single decision in my life. I just don't leave that choice up to my wounded self, my left brain mind. I hand it to my higher guidance and ask about everything. It can be mundane, it can be really important, but I ask about everything. And it's such a comfort, such a relief and a comfort to know that I'm never alone, that I don't have to decide things all by myself, that I have this incredible source of guidance here, as we all do, as every single one of you do, this incredible source of guidance that is always, always here to help you on your journey, to help you make the decisions that are in your highest good. Now, whether or not you believe this guidance is here, it's here. The only way you're going to know it is to move into an intention to learn and start to ask, you know, what's the truth? What's in my highest good? And see what happens. Test it out. That's what I had to do. I had to test it out. I didn't grow up believing in any kind of God or guidance or anything. My parents were atheists, so I had to find this path on my own. But in practicing inner bonding and in asking throughout the day, what's in my highest good, I've learned to completely and totally trust that source. And, I mean, that's just, it's just such a much easier way to live when you are connecting with that source. So I'm going to unmute. I'm going to tell you how to unmute. If you would like, if you're online right now and you would like to ask me a question, press *7. *7 is to talk and *6 is to mute. So if there's somebody online right now that would like to do a little work with me, is there somebody? It looks like somebody just unmuted.
Hi, this is Simone McKen.
Yes, hi. How can I help you?
I heard you say many times that you always access your guidance to make every single decision. So
right.
How do you do that for, you know, on a daily basis, for instance?
Well, on a daily basis, I just keep constantly asking, you know, what would be good for me to eat right now? I have a whole list of things. Which is the best thing for me to do first right now? I mean, I just ask the questions. And
okay.
As long as I'm in an intention to learn, the answers kind of pop into my mind. I'll either get them in words, or I'll get them in feelings, or I'll get them in images. But truly, it's not hard to access. It's right here. It's here always. It's always here for all of us. But the thing that is so important and the thing that takes practice is truly being open to learning, truly wanting to know, and being in a kind of very let-go state. It's a state of surrender where you're not trying to control anything. You're not trying to control the answers. You're not trying to control spirit. You're not trying to control the outcome. You're not attaching your worth, your sense of worth to the outcome. You just want to know, you know, like if you had an actual baby and you want to know, this baby may be crying and you want to know, well, what does this baby need? Does this baby need to be fed or changed or held? And you just really want to know. And when you ask a question like that, parents naturally do that. They do it all the time with their babies. They say, oh, my baby's crying. What does my baby need right now? And, of course, ideas pop in. They don't realize that they're asking guidance what to do, but they are. And it's the same thing with ourselves. If you imagine that you have a baby inside and you want to know what to do, and you just keep asking throughout the day. Is that helpful to you?
Yeah. So basically,
okay.
What I understood is that
okay, you
know
what? Wait a minute. We've got a lot of noise in the background, and I would appreciate if you would press *6 until I ask for the next caller. So please press *6 because there's a lot of background noise. Yes, go ahead, honey.
So basically, you're just asking the question. You don't pause and ask, guidance now tell me this. You just naturally ask the question.
Yeah, I don't do any kind of meditation
ritual
or anything. I don't pause. I just ask. I mean, I've gotten in the habit of this because I've been doing it for a really long time. And so I'm just asking all the time, knowing, having 100% faith that my guidance is here. And, of course, because I'm open to it and I've been doing this for a long time, I get answers all the time. I'm constantly getting answers as to what's best for me to do or how to feed myself or how to deal with an interaction or, you know, anything like that.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, there were a couple of other people who... Yeah, there's an awful lot of background noise. So who has a question? Yes, what's your
name?
I have
a question.
Pardon?
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead. What's your name?
My name is Rosemary.
Rosemary, okay.
Yep. So, when you're around, just, you know, in terms of, you know, keeping your own, the integrity of your own energy, if you're around people that, you know, are, you know, excited about something or their energy is lower somehow or what have you, how can you isolate yourself, your energy, you know, how do you maintain the integrity of your own energy when there's
okay,
lower energy?
Okay, this is a very, very good question. One of the most powerful energies there is that of compassion. And when you're around people whose frequency is low, if you open your heart and you invite, see, compassion is not a feeling that we generate. Compassion is a feeling that we open to and we invite in. And so when you realize you're around people who may be difficult to be around, you open to learning and you invite compassion into your heart for yourself, for your own feelings, because it's hard to be around unloving people. And you want to be in compassion for how hard it is to be around unloving people. And so you invite that compassion in, and as soon as you do that, you're going to be able to maintain the integrity of your own frequency. And then once you do that, you can actually extend that. If you visualize extending compassion out around your body, I mean, you know, if you want to, you can extend it to the other people, but what's important here is to extend it around your own body, because it's such a powerful energy that you will find other people's lower frequencies kind of bouncing off. It's like it creates a shield for you. So, you know, it's not always easy for people to remember to move into compassion, but that really is the key to maintaining the integrity of your own frequency. Okay, I'm going to take a few minutes just to tell you what we have available. I do a six-week telephone support group. It's the least expensive way of having one-to-one work with me. And if you're interested in joining the next one, which I think is in a couple of weeks, it starts in a couple of weeks, you call 888-6-INNER-BOND to sign up. We have a wonderful assistant, Valerie, 888-6-INNER-BOND. We have an incredible membership site that's on a sliding scale, depending upon the benefits that you want. You get an enormous amount of support on our website. It's a community. It's a compassionate community of people who truly care about each other and support each other, which you can join at innerbonding.com. And at innerbonding.com, if you click on SelfQuest, you can get taken to the SelfQuest site. And SelfQuest is an incredible program. It's a computer program, a very, very in-depth program that takes you through the inner bonding process in a very deep, powerful, and healing way. I just got an email today from somebody that said, this is the most incredible tool I have ever, ever used. And I got one last week from somebody who said that she's been on drugs for 38 years, and this is the first time since she's been using SelfQuest that she's been able to get off of drugs. So it's a really powerful program. We have two 12-week courses. Online courses. One is a relationship course and one is a weight loss course. We give the first 2 weeks free, so you can go again to our website and click under courses under the store and you receive the first 2 weeks of these free to see if you'd like to do them. Now, I do individual and conjoint sessions on the phone and on Skype, and so do other inner bonding facilitators. I also do 5-day intensives for 12 people, which are very, very in-depth and very powerfully healing. The next one is in February in Santa Barbara. And again, if you go to innerbonding.com under events, you can find the date of that. And, of course, most of you know we give a free course. If you go to innerbonding.com and click on free course, we have a free online e-course that's will give you, you know, the overview of inner bonding. So, okay, I'm going to take a question from somebody that wrote in here. It's hard to know when and how to assert oneself to protect one's inner child. Standing up for her is a new experience. This is from Susan. It's easy to get it wrong and wind up asserting oneself inappropriately over petty issues. Having not learned in my family of origin where or when it is healthy to draw boundaries and how to draw them, I'm still baffled by day-to-day situations. Now, you see, this is where the practice of inner bonding comes in. I totally understand this because I used to have a terrible problem speaking up, speaking my truth, knowing how to deal with people who may be blaming or attacking. And it was only through being in the intention to learn with my guidance that I learned what to do in any given moment. You see, there's no rules here. Each moment is different. Each situation is different. Each person you're dealing with is different. And so to try to follow a rule for what to do will get you off course. But when you open to learning, when you learn to stay open to learning with your guidance in the moment, that's when the information will pop into your mind. And so this takes practice. This is not going to happen all of a sudden just because you practice inner bonding. It's going to happen as you practice it over a period of time. You're going to get better and better at being able to access your guidance in the moment. I'm going to take one more that somebody has written in, and then I'll go back to working with people online. This is Linda Lee. My question is about the Inner Bonding Online article from December 13th regarding the avoidance of painful feelings by staying in our mind rather than in our body. I felt curious about this phrase when I read it, and it feels like a very big and important piece of my puzzle. Could you please go into more detail about this? Yes, this is a huge piece of the puzzle because all of us, virtually all of us, learn to stay up in our mind, have our focus be in our left brain mind as a way to protect against deeply painful feelings as we were growing up. All of us, when we were growing up, experienced some heartbreak, some loneliness, some helplessness, some grief, and these are very, very big painful feelings, way too big for a child to manage, especially if you don't have a comforting parent there to help you manage. And so what we did is we went up in our mind. We left our body because the feelings are in the body. And so we learned to leave our body and go up in our mind in order to feel safe. Now, that was fine as a child. It got us through. It was a survival mechanism. But now, when we stay in our mind, we are abandoning ourselves. This is a major form of self-abandonment, is to stay up in your mind rather than be present in your body, because the feelings are in your body. They're not in your mind. They're in your heart. They're in your gut. They may be in your arms, your legs. They're all over the place. And it's only when you're present in your body that you can feel the feelings. And, you know, unfortunately in our culture, people are afraid of their feelings, and they feel a lot. They get overwhelmed. They take drugs to numb out their feelings of anxiety or depression. But these feelings are actually being caused primarily by self-abandonment. And when you understand that every feeling is informational, every single feeling we have is informing us of something really, really important, then you don't want to numb out your feelings. You don't want to stay in your head. You want to be there and be present for the information that your feelings are giving you. That's what the intention to learn is all about. So that's why step one of inner bonding is practicing staying present in your body, in the moment, wanting responsibility for your feelings. Okay, is there somebody else online? Yes, what's your name?
Carrie.
Hello, it goes Carrie. How can I help you?
Good. What you were just saying about staying in your body and feeling what you're feeling, I have a question about how to do that and stay in a high frequency. Because I find when I'm right now going through a process of unraveling some deep pain and grief that it, doing that at the same time as staying in a frequency where I can receive spiritual guidance is the challenge.
Yes, it is a challenge. And that's why I always suggest that if you are unraveling any kind of trauma, abuse, deep pain, deep grief, that you don't do it alone. You need to be facilitated with that. You need somebody else to hold that space for you, to maintain that frequency, so that you can go directly into the feelings and get the information and have the memory and whatever it is that you need to go through, and that somebody who's loving and trustworthy can be there to hold the space for you to do that, because we cannot do that for ourselves when we have to go through a memory process or deep grief, deep pain, trauma. We just can't do that alone. We need a compassionate other to be there for us. Now, once you access all of this and it starts to move through you, you will find with time that you will be able to maintain that connection more and more. But truly, at the beginning of this process, honey, don't try and do it on your own, because that's just not possible.
Okay, and so set times then during the day, because having an intent to be willing to feel and be open for me, then I find I don't want to abandon myself when feelings come up, but I need to maybe have some limits of like, okay, let's deal with that later at this time.
Yeah, absolutely.
When we have support. Okay.
Yeah, one of the things that I suggest to people when you're going through a process like that is to have a little like a notepad or a little box, and when something comes up like that, write a note to yourself, because you don't want to forget it, but you don't want to deal with it right then. And so you write a little note and you tell that little girl inside of you who's giving you the memory, because she's giving you the memory because she's trusting that you're going to be there and deal with it. And you tell that little girl inside, we can't do it right now, but I'm writing it down. We will do it. I do want to know this. And we will do it when we have some help.
Great. Thank you so much.
Is that helpful to you?
Yeah, it's very helpful.
Okay, good. Okay, is there anybody else online that would like to ask anything? Okay, let's see. I have a question here from Darlene. Hi, I have a trauma history, and I have a difficult time feeling my feelings in my body, and I have trouble with accessing guidance. Previously, you've told me to try walking in nature and using my dreams to raise my frequency and access guidance, and this sometimes helps a little. When I believe what I hear or see that I can't quite read that. I think I have very concrete thinking, though, about what guidance is and what it should feel like based on things I've read on the website or from your other webinars. I think I'm supposed to get this really warm and loving feeling enveloping me and bringing love into me or something, but that has not happened. I often get very overwhelmed by my inner child's feelings of grief, and I need to get a loving adult, but really struggle. Is this difficulty in accessing guidance much harder for people with a lot of early childhood trauma, and is it really possible to heal? Actually, no, it's not harder for people with early childhood trauma, and it really is possible to heal. But sometimes the wounded self, like you have these very definite ideas about what it's supposed to feel like. Like you're supposed to get this really warm, loving feeling enveloping you and bringing love into you. So one of the things you need to do is let go of that concept, because that's probably not what's going to happen. I mean, there are times when I do get warm, loving feelings when I'm, you know, in a really, really great space and I feel that feeling of love in my heart and I feel the warmth of it. But most of the time when I'm just going through my day and being open, that's not what's happening. Guidance is a very natural thing. Kids do it all the time without realizing it. Parents do it all the time when they're trying to understand their kids without realizing it. It's just that most people don't think about doing this for themselves, don't think about what is truly loving to themselves. And however, when you have a trauma history, there's a book you might want to read. It's called In an Unspoken Voice by Peter Levine. He's done a lot of work on trauma and on getting blocked in the trauma when we weren't allowed to complete a fight or flight response. And we go into a freeze. And one of the things that I've noticed with so many of the people I work with, like at an intensive, this just happened at my last intensive, where there was a woman who had been sexually abused when she was 7, and now she's in her late 60s. And actually, through going through the SelfQuest program, she started to remember this. She had never remembered it before. And this trauma that she had basically immobilized her and was so terrifying, and there was such a threat in it, that she went into a freeze state that she was in her whole life, a kind of a frozen state. But at this intensive, she was able to go into a very intense anger process where she was able to move her body in a way that she wasn't able to during that abuse, and really, you know, scream and shout and move her whole body. And what happens when you do that, when you're able to do what you couldn't do during the trauma, is it starts to bring your body back into an equilibrium where you can begin to feel again. So, Darlene, you're saying here that you have a hard time feeling your feelings in your body, and it may be that the trauma has gotten you stuck, and that book might be extremely helpful to you in terms of getting yourself out of that stuck place and able to feel again and also able to access your guidance again. So is there anybody else online that would like to click *7 and work with me for a few more minutes? We have a lot of people here online. Is there anybody else that would like a few minutes of time here? Okay. And I have one more question here that I think we have time for. It's not exactly related to what we're talking about, but somebody wrote, "I've fallen in love with a married man. What should I do?" And not knowing the situation, it's a little hard for me to answer you, but in general, when you fall in love with somebody who's not really available, what you need to do is really take a look at whether or not you're truly available. Because falling in love with a married man means that you've chosen somebody who is safe. In other words, they're not really available. And so you might want to take a look at what your own fears of intimacy might be. Because I'm sure you know that most of the time when you fall in love with somebody who's married, they stay married. It generally doesn't work out. Occasionally it does. People fall in love with a married person, that person leaves, and it works out. But most of the time, it doesn't work out. And so what you would need to do is take a look at whether or not you're trying to be safe from very often from a fear of engulfment. A lot of people have a fear of engulfment, of being controlled, and it's safer for them to fall in love with somebody who's not truly available. And there's lots of ways of people being unavailable. One of them is married, but there's certainly other ways of people being unavailable. So you might want to do some inner work as to what this is really, really about for you. Okay, I think we're out of time here. I want to thank you for joining me. I'm going to unmute everybody so I can say goodnight to all of you that are on the line. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
I hope you all have a really wonderful Christmas and New Year's.
And
you
too.
To all
you.
Of you.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.